Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant.
That's a G,
yo. And George.
Thanks, Joe.
Okay. Yeah.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Hello and welcome aboard, Gallant and George, on a Thursday. A beautiful Thursday here in Houston, Texas. It is November 14th, 2024. Joe George is back. Joe, hello.
Hello.
Everything good?
Oh, yeah. Little guy had to get some shots.
Ooh.
So, super fun time at the doctor's office.
Did he handle the shots better than he handles playing for your soccer team?
Yes, he did, actually.
That's good.
Yes.
Okay.
That's for sure. He handled that.
That's great.
Because he didn't really know what was happening until it was over.
I'm not sure if you knew what was happening yesterday on the show, but Sean and I have decided on something. We are resetting the Texan season, as we always do.
All right.
But we're doing it in a different way this time.
Okay.
Instead of the Texans going back to 0-0, the Houston Texans are now 4-1.
Ooh.
Because they were 4-1 in games that Nico Collins played.
I like this strategy here. Now, we'd never do this with the Astros because there's too many injuries to keep track of. It'd be impossible. I like this strategy. They're 4-1 on the season. Great start. First place in the AFC. Still in reach.
We did do it to a degree with the Astros because I think we did the Jose Abreu record. What's their record without Jose Abreu?
A lot better.
The best in baseball?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, we did it once they got rid of Jose Abreu. That's really when we did that. That was our last reset that we did. We did a couple resets and a couple World Series during the baseball season.
I'm trying to lift them up. Okay? They're down on the mat. That was a rough loss on Sunday. It was a worse loss the Thursday before. Sometimes you got to pick them up. Remember, you're 4-1 with Nico Collins. Forget about how you were 4-1 against a couple of teams that weren't very good and some rather unconvincing wins. Doesn't matter, Brian. AFC South leaders even at 4-1 because the Colts only have 4 wins over 10 games this year.
Okay. Yeah, I think this is a really good strategy to think about the optimistic view of the Houston Texans.
Correct. Now, here's the other thing we're going to do.
This I saw for sure.
Because the Dallas Cowboys are effing dumpster fire right now. I mean, there's a quarterback competition between Cooper Rush and Trey Lance. They both stink. But guess what? There once was a time where Cooper Rush was actually creating conversations in Dallas.
I forgot about that.
quarterback controversy. So, back in 2022, on October 3rd, the Dallas Cowboys were 3-1. Cooper Rush was 4-0 as starting quarterback for the Dallas Cowboys in his career. That was the best mark of any Cowboys quarterback to start off their career. So just like the Houston Texans are 4-1, to make sure the Texans are focused like they weren't against the Jets, the Dallas Cowboys are now 3-1.
Okay. The Dallas Cowboys are 3-1, and then what happens if Cooper Rush doesn't win the quarterback battle?
Doesn't matter,
right? The number 3 overall pick.
Exactly.
Is on the field.
Got to respect the number 3 overall.
He's the number 3 pick in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Trey Lance, like, if it wasn't for the COVID year, I mean, he might have been the number 1 pick in the draft.
He could be just like Drake May as the number 3 overall pick is right now. So that's where we're at. We have pressed the reset button. Now I want to talk about something else. So yesterday on Gallant and George, no Joe, just Paul, I, at some point, drifted off into wondering aloud about D'Amico Ryans and specifically asking a question. Is he ever going to be one of the best coaches in the NFL, given that there are some recurring struggles of late? In case you missed it, here is that clip, because people are not happy about this.
I don't think any of us thought that 10 games into this year, with the Texans having the exact same record as they did last year, that we would already be starting to wonder about the ceiling with D'Amico Ryans as a head coach. But how can you not? You have to a little bit. It's not to say that you think he sucks right now or anything like that. It's more to say, how good will he be as a head coach? Are we going to look at DeMeco Ryans and ever put him in the same conversation as Sean McVay or different style? Dan Campbell, which we're all doing all of a sudden. Jim Harbaugh, John Harbaugh, Mike Tomlin. Because that's what you want. Having a coach like that plus a quarterback like that means you should get a chance at multiple Super Bowls. Andy Reid, can't believe I didn't say his name off the top of my head. There's a lot of coaches that we hope he will be in the same category as someday. And the gaslighting stuff does make you wonder, because if the same things are happening every single week, it makes you wonder about his approach behind the scenes.
Okay, so people are mad about that?
People are mad about that.
Why? I don't understand. What is there to be mad about?
Because I'm questioning DeMeco Ryans. Some are saying I'm calling DeMeco Ryans mid. Some are saying that I want the Houston Texans to fire DeMeco Ryans.
What a
based
chump.
Off of that. I'm pretty sure most people didn't watch the video, to be fair. And I also realize that there is always a bit of sensitivity when we were talking about a young head coach, specifically a young black head coach, much like there's some sensitivity to criticizing a young quarterback. Some people are going to be like, oh, we're doing this again. And I want everyone to know, I'm not doing that with DeMeco Ryans. I think it is fair to wonder how good he'll be as a head coach, because he is in the midst right now of some pretty trying times, and lots of great coaches go through stuff like this. I am wondering if we still think he's on the same trajectory that we thought after last year, where he did an incredible job with a team that had some talent. Obviously, the quarterback figured out how to make Nico Collins work. Offensive line, who was at the very least highly paid. Will Anderson. But not that much talent. A lot of people thought it was a disastrous situation that he was going into. But in year two, have the steps forward been taken? They have the same record right now as they did last year. And there was a ton of hype behind this team going into this year.
I would say, no, they haven't come anywhere close to where we thought they were going to go this year. And at some point, like that has to fall on your head coach. I mean, you've got questions about DeMeco that I think that are really fair, you know, with until this season, his record as a 49ers defensive coordinator and as a Texans head coach every single time he faced Shane Steichen. What those offenses were doing to DeMeco's defense. They were having massive success, whether Steichen was with the Eagles or the Colts. I mean, even if you look back, like, and that's where I feel like some of the people who are upset about this, it's almost like revisionist history in a little bit of a way. Because even if you just go to this last offseason, it took me 5 seconds to find an article of Pro Football Network and their power rankings of NFL head coaches coming into the season. DeMeco Ryans is ranked 13th in the NFL going into the season. They don't have him in that category. We didn't jump DeMeco into the top of the echelons of coaches like we did with C.J. Stroud, because one of those felt warranted, and I think one of them felt like it wasn't, because we just don't view coaches the same way as quarterbacks. You can't reach the top of the mountain unless you win a Super Bowl, until you at least get to an AFC Championship game. I mean, every guy that's going to be up there has either done that, or they're very clearly an offensive genius, guys like Matt Eberflus. Not Matt Eberflus.
Guys like Matt Eberflus. Matt put that on the Bears podcast.
Matt LaFleur is
Matt
the name
Eberflus,
I was looking for.
Great coach.
Kevin O'Connell. Like those coaches, we moved up quick because we're seeing elite level results from their offense and their offensive minds. Defensive coaches were always going to be a little bit more reserved, and putting them in that top category because everyone thinks that there's a ceiling for a defensive coach.
Well, that's fair. I think a lot of people get mad, at least online, when a offensive-minded coach isn't hired for a young team. I think people in New England are doing that right now with Jerod Mayo. They got Drake May. Maybe they're not getting the most out of Drake May to open things up. I think some of the pushback has to do with people are like, oh my God, you're questioning a black coach after a year and a half. And again, sensitive to that, I understand why you might be feeling that way. But really, all I'm asking is, just how good can he be? Because this is a really difficult time for him right now. And I, as someone who does a sports talk show 3 hours a day, I never believe a conversation is too early to be had. I'm not saying anything about DeMeco Ryans or putting a ceiling over him. I'm merely wondering what it is. And if he can get into that same group as the guys at the top, he's got the quarterback. We're talking about a team that has the potential to win multiple Super Bowls. You know? Potential. Again, will they live up to it? It's really hard to do that in this league. But the big problem I have right now with the Texans is there's a lot of recurring issues, and there are some tough decisions that need to be made potentially. And I am wondering about the real big one that has not been made yet. Are they going to move on from Bobby Slowick? And I would say right now, and we talked about this earlier in the week, I don't think it makes sense to move on from him right now. Talked about that with DJ yesterday too, Joe. I feel like right now you kind of have what you have, and to, I guess, reenact Hernando Cortez when he came to, you know, the Aztec Empire and wanted to take that thing down, burned all the boats. You're stuck here with this, and you got to figure out a way to make it work. And the CEO of this entire operation is D'Amico Ryans. So he's going to have to figure out a way to get more out of the offensive side of things. And I don't think that it's fair to focus on Bobby Slowick like some online. Bobby Slowick's Hitler! I mean, no one said that yet, but it's trending that way. I don't think it's necessarily fair to remove D'Amico entirely from criticism of the offense, because he is the one that is overseeing all this. And yesterday he had talked about how, on Tuesday, he had talked about how he's part of this process. Is he a major part of the process? I don't know, but he sees it. And if he thinks it needs to be better, which clearly does, even if the offensive line's limiting things, he's got to do something about it. So we're at the crossroads, okay? And I'm just asking, where does D'Amico go from here? In the midst of a very difficult time,
it's a really fair question that I think we get a much better picture of what the answer is when the season ends. That if Bobby Slowick does not get a head coaching job, what is the response from the Texans there? Because what's going to separate D'Amico from being a good or average coach to being a great head coach is his hiring ability, and he hired Bobby Slowick. Bobby Slowick came from San Francisco, so if he decides that the offense this year, you know, struggles, and he views it as not a problem and not a Bobby Slowick problem, and it's a roster problem, and he sticks with Bobby Slowick, and then next year we're here having the same conversations, it really changes the way you have to evaluate D'Amico. Because when you look at the best coaches in the NFL, like, what do? Bill Belichick, Andy Reid, Sean McVay, they have trees. They have guys that come in and go out and have great success. Not Belichick. Guys fail, then it's not his fault.
I mean, I'm part of the Belichick coaching tree. I'm arguably the greatest success that's come out of it. I'm a football mastermind. O'Brien. That's true, too. See? Huh? How about that? Mike Vrabel, technically. I'm just kidding. Listen.
Bill O'Brien over Mike Vrabel.
Keep cooking.
You have to be able to hire coaches, because your coaches are going to leave. Whether it doesn't matter you hire a defensive head coach, your offensive coordinator is going to leave. You want your offensive coordinator to leave. Because if your offensive coordinator leaves, it means your offense is awesome. But now the Texans are in a position where their offense isn't good. And how does D'Amico Ryans handle that? How does he move forward as the CEO of this franchise and say, I have to choose between a guy that I brought here from San Francisco and what's best for the franchise? Who do you replace him with? Do you replace him with Gerard Johnson? Have you guys developed Gerard Johnson enough to be the next offensive coordinator of this team? Or do you have to look elsewhere? Mm-hmm. So I think the offseason is really where we get a clear picture of it. But it is fair to question it right now, because they're struggling. They've lost games in the last 2 years so far. It's early. I get it. But you have two Jets games on your record. You have the Falcons game. You have the Panthers game. You're squeaking out wins left and right. So, yes, it's fair. And it's stupid. And I would tell Sarge this to his face, because I like Sarge. It's stupid.
Sarge.
To compare D'Amico Ryans and the people who are saying, fire D'Amico, because A, no one's saying that, and trying to comp it to the people that wanted to fire Dusty Baker. I know what you're doing. It's not the same thing. It's totally different. They are not the same conversation. We're not having that D'Amico Ryans conversation. I've seen the response to your post. It is a joke that people are taking that leap when you very specifically said, I normally do this when we play audio clips. I try to take notes. Not saying he sucks, said Paul Gallant in that clip.
Yeah.
They're just taking these giant leaps for no reason.
But some people said he's mid. And look, I'm just going to give you my complete background here. Your boy's a perfectionist, probably to his own detriment. Why am I single at 35 years old? Because I still think that I can somehow end up with a supermodel. Is that going to happen? I don't know. I don't know at this point, especially, you know, I'm doing a radio show in an industry that, let's just say, isn't exactly on the thickest of ice. Much thinner ice than D'Amico Ryans is on. Perhaps thicker ice than Bobby Slowick. Whatever the case, bringing it back to me. I'm a perfectionist. I was raised in a household where A-minuses were considered okay. I had a sister who went to effing Harvard.
these are standards I had to live up to. And I also grew up watching the greatest football dynasty of all time. Oh, they cheated. Shut up. And I watched them, and then I listened to a radio show that would criticize them every single day. It's always fair to criticize things because everything can always be better. It is always, on top of that, it's fair to, I think, hold people to a standard that is unreasonable, especially in this game that we play, Sports Talk Radio. It's a Wednesday. The Texans are doing the same things over and over again. What's going on with D'Amico Ryans? These are questions that can ask. And I will say, as somebody who once asked this question in 2018, are Houston Texans fans scared to admit that Patrick Mahomes is better than Deshaun Watson, which was met with violence online? Sometimes daddy's right. That's all I'm saying.
But don't you, like, don't people want the higher standard? Don't you want to remove yourself from one of the four teams in NFL in the NFL right now that hasn't been to a Super Bowl? The only team in the AFC South that hasn't been to an AFC championship game?
I would think so.
Like, don't you want your teams to be held to this higher standard? Isn't it a good thing? I would beg for the teams that I grew up rooting for to be in the position that Houston Sports is in right now. I would beg for the Bears to be 6-4. I would beg for those teams to be above 500.
By that same logic, Joe, there are some who are like, this is good. Why are we criticizing it? Or why are we asking questions about it? And as a skeptic who some would call cynical, I'm just saying it's always fair to ask questions about that. You're right. There's a lot of people who would love to be in the spot that the Houston Texans are in right now. I mean, they're not sitting at the table of big boy table weekend this weekend in the AFC where you got Chiefs Bills and you got Raven Steelers. Who would have thought this would be back?
I know.
That one blows my mind. Raven Steelers is back again. Two organizations that have run very well. You're trying to get in the same conversation as, at the very least, two of those from a long-term perspective, Baltimore and Pittsburgh, and the Chiefs as well. How do you get there? You got to raise the level. It's very hard to get there. And I think it's totally fair to be skeptical about their ability to get there based off of what has happened thus far. As always, I hope they prove me wrong. I really do. But right now, I feel like D'Amico Ryans has some things that he's got to improve in, much like C.J. Stroud has. And it's weird that considering this team is 6-4 and compared to last year, is better, more talented, more hype. They're 6-4 just like they were last year. And we're a little underwhelmed with the wins. We're underwhelmed with what's going on in the second half. But we're not going to ask questions about the head coach and the quarterback. We're not going to say, hey, they need to be better. Saying something needs to be better is not saying it sucks. It's mid. It's strange. And again, I'm wired the way that I am, and I'm sure that it is annoying AF for lots of folks out there. But this is how I'm wired.
Yeah, I have no issue with the idea of questioning a coach when things aren't going well. I mean, you heard D'Amico's frustrations after the Jets game. Not as much after the Lions game. Like, they were a little more, you could tell they were frustrated. But you kind of heard like the anger, the real frustration for the first time from D'Amico in that one. And like, I'll be honest, I think the answer to this question for me is yes. Like, I do think that he can still move into that upper echelon of coaches in the NFL. Like, we've seen what, I think you've seen what the 49ers have kind of gone through since he left. They had to hire a DC, who then they had to fire, and their defense has taken a step backwards since D'Amico is no longer the head coach, I mean, the defensive coordinator of that football team. Like, I do think the way that D'Amico's style that he has can work very well. And I think he can have the Texans as a top-tier defense. It's just going to question of, will you bring in the right guys to fix your offense?
He's Joe. I'm Paul. We got a call, 713-780-3776. We've got Gary in the Heights. He wants to talk to D'Amico Ryans and Bobby Slowick. Gear Bear, what's up?
Hey, what's up, guys? And I just want to say about Sarge, the dude is a clown.
No, sorry, I like Sarge.
I enjoy Sarge.
Yeah. That's just my opinion. I've been following sports here in the city since Lance and John were on 610 in the late 90s. I have no idea where the guy came from, the hat, the whole SARS thing. It just gives off clown. That's my personal opinion. But I will say, like, if you're trying to do, like, the racial thing, like, give me a break, man. Like, there's not a single serious person anywhere calling for D'Amico Ryan to be fired.
Exactly.
Like, I'm sure somebody on the internet said that, but, like, they're a little... And, like, the Dusty Baker, making that comparison, like, that's foolish. And not that it matters, but I'm a black guy, and I hate stuff like that. Like, nobody's calling for D'Amico to be fired. But we just lost to the freaking Jets. They're terrible. Like, we just blew up, I don't know, 16-point lead at home. Like, yes, there's questions. The dude is the head coach. Like, people will question him. That's how it works. So all of that stuff is foolishness, and that's just what I want to say on that. Like, not a fan of Sarge, but overall, that's foolishness. Nobody's asking for D'Amico to be fired.
Yeah, and Sarge is listening. So, what's up, Sarge? Because he responded. He this is his defense here. He says, it was your station that was pushing the fire Dusty narrative first. So, yes, Sarge, said it because how this D'Amico narrative is starting is exactly how the Dusty Baker narrative started.
I want to bring
started.
Dusty back.
Now, look,
Texas offensive coordinator, Dusty Baker?
Yeah. First of all, I appreciate, like, thinking that, like, we led the movement.
You did. Actually, Joe, you were on the killer bees, the angry bees.
But as I've...
They wanted Dusty Baker in jail.
Front line with the tiki torch.
But as I've responded...
They wanted a strong black man in jail. Yes. Not cool, dude.
As I've responded on Twitter now, or X, I also was at the flagship and working on shows that were asking for Dusty Baker to be fired. So as much as I think the Killer Bees are great and led the chart... Me?
I agree, Sean. That's a great question.
I mean,
who's
Dusty
the
Baker,
denominator?
There's no one that's hurt me more in my life than Dusty Baker, to be fair.
Kerry Wood and Mark Pryor into this.
I definitely, like, when he got hired, brought them up. But, look, I think Sarge is good at his job, and I think... But I just think it's a leap to think that this conversation is what the Dusty Baker conversation is.
I actually think, and we had this conversation earlier in the week, I think a lot of the pointing at Bobby Slowik has become a lot like, hey, insert Astros manager, we're mad at him because the Astros are not living up to the standards. Saw it this year with Joe Espada, saw it before with Dusty Baker. It was the exact same thing.
Yeah, the Joe Espada stuff came up this year.
There
should have been pushback.
Like, after 2019, that's the only time there was pushback with Hinch. Hinch game four of the 2015 wild card round. What the F, dude? Pull Will Harris.
Yeah, I do think, I always kind of wonder, like, what the conversation's like in 2020 if Hinch is not fired because of the cheating scandal. I'd imagine it'd be way different than what actually occurred because he was gone. And we kind of just had to move on from that because of just what was happening with the Astros at the time. But look, D'Amico, it's fair to question where the Texans are because our expectations were higher. And maybe we as media and fans and people that talk about this team and care about this team, like, deserve the blame for this, I guess, that our expectations were too high for a franchise that has achieved far too less with too much talent too often. But the reality is that we all want to see the Texans go to places they've never been. And with the way they're playing this year, one injury should not derail you. We should not be having to reset the season as the Texans are 4-1 with Nico Collins. Because you lost to the Jets twice, you lost to the Panthers, you lost to the Saints. And the only reason why you made the playoffs last year is because a third-string running back dropped a pass. It's just the reality.
Mm-hmm.
Expectations should be higher in this city.
And I don't think we all need to get upset about questions being asked about the quarterback and the head coach. These two can handle it. They can handle it. Honestly, they shouldn't be paying attention. But they can handle it. We're trying to get past that door that no one has been able to get past in this entire city's history of professional football. Unless you count George Blanda and the early AFL days. Like, that's how far back we're going. Bob Phillips couldn't do it. Gary Kubiak couldn't do it. Bill O'Brien couldn't do it. It's not the best history here. We're hoping that this is going to be different. And I do feel, and I think we all feel the same way, that even with the struggles right now, the future is the brightest it's ever been with these two. But it is totally fair to ask, how great are both of these guys going to be given the struggles that we have seen of late? You want to weigh in on this, you can. 713-780-3776 is how you call. It's how you text. You can join us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. You can join us on Twitch at ESPN 975. I do think it is worth bringing up something that happened exactly a year ago today in the NFL because people want to see it happen. You'll hear what that was next. Stick around.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
Text in 713-780-3776 on a day where we're merely asking the question, what is the ceiling of Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans? We are not putting a ceiling there. This is an open roof stadium. Less sun issues than Jerry World. We would put curtains up, but we don't necessarily have a roof up, okay? Text in, fans and media are acting like the sky is falling. Well, a 23-7 lead fell. Kind of feels like the sky. You know, it's Sunday Night Football against one of the best teams in the NFL. This text continues. The season can still be a successful season. When they make the playoffs, people will forget about the Lions game. I hope so. I hope so.
Yeah, I mean, I would tend to agree, but it's not just the Lions game. Because I think really the issue with this season is really your 1-3 record versus the NFC North. It's with the Packers, Vikings, and Lions, those three games kind of combined. Because they all end poorly. Or just were a disaster throughout. So, I mean, I think if you win a playoff game, people will forget. Because I do think that the expectation's at least been raised there. That the expectation is beyond just making the playoffs. I mean, if you end up facing Baltimore or Pittsburgh in the first round, which feels the most logical path for the Texans right now is hosting one of those two teams, and you lose by two touchdowns, specifically to Russell Wilson, people will not forget what happened in the regular season. People will not forget what happened last year versus the Baltimore Ravens if you lose again. And these questions will actually just get worse.
More people will ask them.
Yeah.
I feel like it's probably going to be, say things do not continue to go up. Year four, where there are more people that start asking those questions. I just believe, as somebody who does this every single day for 3 hours a day, it's totally fair to ask those questions now. And patting myself on the back a little bit, I have sometimes asked the question and been right before everyone thought it was appropriate to ask it. I can't believe how many people in 2018 got mad at me for saying, are Texans fans scared to admit that Patrick Mahomes is better than Deshaun Watson? He clearly was at that point in time. And people were saying, well, you got to give it more time. No. What if we get hit by a meteor? What if, God forbid, certain folks in a certain house, I don't know, start something with someone and boom, 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 and we're all dead, melting, like we're Sarah Connor shaking onto that fence in Terminator 2. If that happens, then, I mean, what, we're not going to be able to have that conversation unless some of us down low or some of us up high or in the great beyond of nothing.
Now I just feel like Paul Gallant's going to be in a bunker as the world is ending, talking about DeMeco Ryans.
Well, I mean, it would give some person a distraction. It would be like, was DeMeco Ryans ever going to reach his ceiling? By the way, the prices of rad roaches have gone up. And I'm sorry, that's a Fallout reference. No one gets it. But anyway, to bring it back to this, I think it's fair to ask the question. If you disagree, you can weigh in 713-780-3776 to call, to text. You can join on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. A year ago today, the Buffalo Bills fired offensive coordinator Ken Dorsey. And the results after that, the Buffalo Bills, who looked rough and at one point had a bit of a hit piece come out at the Go Long Substack with our friend Tyler Dunn, where it was found out that Sean McDermott uses, let's just say, unconventional methods to motivate his troops. 9/11 hijackers, for one, among others. You would think that after that comes out, that coach is going to be gone. But guess what? In a world after Ken Dorsey, Joe Brady, and that Bills offense looked pretty damn good down the stretch. Started running the football more. Less Stephon Diggs. Stephon Diggs wasn't thrilled about that. That's why he's with you this year. And they get to the second round of the playoffs against the Chiefs. The different approach did not work, but they have been playing a lot better since then. Because they're 8-2 to start this year. You beat them. I mean, that's the best thing the Texans did this year. You beat them. Looked like you could have beat them by more. And yeah, you did have to hang on for dear life at the end because the second half issues like keep on happening. But a lot of people are looking at this and they're saying that the Houston Texans should do the same to Bobby Slowick right now.
Yeah. I mean, we don't typically see like a lot of great, you know, like success. I feel like when you fire an offensive coordinator mid season, typically it's in the off season. Like people have pointed out to Ben Johnson with Detroit, where he replaced Anthony Lynn after, what, the 2022 season, and then the Lions offense really took off after that point. So, like, they made that change then. It's fair to question, like, if an OC change would make things better, specifically because of the issues that are so clearly in front of you in the second half. Like, you can't score points in the second half of games. And that does feel something that is tangible that a different person could fix. Because whatever they're doing right now is not working. It's really tough that last week when Bobby Slowick is meeting with the media and he says it's not really adjustments that are happening that are causing these issues in the second half. Well, then, like, well, then what is? Like, what is causing these problems, and why can't you, your only job is to fix them? So I think it's fair to really ask that question if they could have the same response.
Yeah,
as the Bills.
I truly wonder. We don't know the answer to that. We have a track record with Bill Lazor, who's called plays before. I know
bad.
How you feel. I know how you feel about that.
Well, and like, and the obviously, I do think the big difference though that we have to like point out is who did the replacing. So
the Bears.
Joe Brady comes in as the Bills' offensive coordinator.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a guy that is the coordinator for the greatest college football offense we will ever see in our life. Now, Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase were all on that roster. So, like, they were incredible at LSU.
Don't F it up, right.
But then he obviously failed in Carolina. But coming out of LSU, like, people thought he could be a head coach at, like, 26 years old, 27 years old. Like, he was the prodigy of the NFL and went to what looks like the biggest dumpster fire organization left in the NFL right now in the Carolina Panthers. So I don't think we should be too surprised that someone that was that revered would have success. And I don't think, as much as we all kind of like the idea of Gerard Johnson, we don't really know how that would – we have nothing to base that off of besides of he's a good dude and he's raved about everywhere.
He earned that raise that he got working with C.J. Stroud last year. There are certainly good vibes with him. But, yeah, he would be learning on the fly a little bit, and you got to wonder if that actually hurts the Texans in the short term. The good news is the AFC South is pretty much on lockdown, and the next three games the Texans are – also not going up against very good teams. So you could argue, hey, this could be a perfect time for a ramp-up period. You wonder, and I on those Twitter spaces I did earlier today, the idea was broached of by Corey Barrett, like, hey, like, what would happen if the bye week was a little earlier? Because the Texans are kind of screwed by where their bye week is. It's week 14. Would they think about this a little bit more? And maybe not even firing Bobby Slowick, but just changing roles. Because changing roles probably makes more sense than getting rid of him entirely. I feel like at this moment in time, removing somebody, addition by subtraction is not happening in the middle of a year. And especially when, you know, you got to go on to the next game and the next game and the next game. There's no break in between. And then you're going to have the three games in 10 days. You don't want to do it then either.
Yeah, I think they missed their boat if they were going to do it. That's why I really don't think it's going to happen at all.
The boats have been burned.
This was it. This was the window. To play Sunday night and then to not play again until Monday because of where your bye week's at. It's a great point. Like, you really just don't have another opportune time. You're not going to do it on a short week unless you take Tennessee like that unseriously. And I don't even know. I really struggle to think of a way which over the next 3 weeks that we're even really having these conversations. Now, we might still be saying, well, Bobby Slowick and this offense have to prove it against Kansas City and Baltimore. But as bad as things have kind of gone this year for the Texans offense, I see like an 8-point line versus the Dallas Cowboys, the Texans being 8-point favorites and still thinking that they're going to smoke them. Like, I don't take their next three opponents seriously. And almost like the next 3 weeks should be get right weeks.
Well, this lends itself to a question that we had yesterday, and we'll talk about some other disastrous coordinator situations in the next segment. But DJ and I were wondering about this yesterday. DJ believes that a get-right game for the Texans is as simple as a 2-touchdown win over the Cowboys on Monday. What do you feel like is the ideal amount of margin of victory for the Houston Texans against the Cowboys to get people feeling better? Because the vibes are down right now. They're bad, even though the Texans, as I said, are 4-1. They're not actually 6-4. They're 4-1. Thanks to Nico Collins' return. That's what they were with Nico Collins on the field.
Okay, I will accept a 2-touchdown victory.
Oh, that's it, God. It's so bare.
If those 2 touchdowns come in the second half. If you win by 2 touchdowns.
So if they win 14-0 and all 14 points,
Well, no, see that. you're boxing me into a corner I don't like there,
questions.
Paul.
I'm just asking questions.
I would accept 14 points. I would prefer to at least win by 20 or more. Mm-hmm. At least 20 points. Mm-hmm. Because it's Cooper Rush. Like, D'Amico is...
That's not cool, dude. Cooper Rush, the Cowboys were at one point 3-1 with Cooper Rush.
You're right. They were.
He won his first four starts.
That's true.
One of the greatest Cowboys starts ever.
That's true.
In fact, me.
And Davis Mills won his last
Roger Staubach didn't do that. Dak Prescott didn't do that. Troy Aikman didn't do that.
That's
facts.
True. I remember those graphics being up there. This is a good throwback to those like random trying too hard speak for your pizza shows.
Excuse you. That was the Paul Gallant show on October 3rd of 2022, you son of a bitch.
I don't think I was here for that yet. So.
Oh, you weren't? Okay.
No, I'll slow the other
you weren't listening to me. Some friend you are.
No, probably. Probably not.
Okay. So to answer.
20 points.
20 points. There we go. There we go.
Give me 20. And a lot of points. And points need to be scored in the second half, though. I think there is the caveat with that. You cannot be up 35-7 at the end of the first half and then win.
No, that's great, actually.
35-20.
Well, that, no, like, 35-20. I would accept that.
If they don't score in the second half, I can't accept it.
But if they score 5 touchdowns in the first half?
I don't care.
Yeah, 5 touchdowns in the first
half. I need a touchdown in the second half. I need it.
Listen, and I know a lot of people in Houston feel the same way here. Run up the score. Run up the score.
Hell yeah, run it up.
As I said to DJ, 70 burger? Huh? Are you going to puss out like Mike McDaniel did earlier this year when he had a chance? Wait, was it Mike McDaniel? Hang on. Mike McDaniel was on the receiving end of that, right?
I think it was last year.
There was a team that had a chance at 70 last year, and they didn't go for it. Maybe it was 2 years ago. Yeah, right. I think it was against Russell Wilson and the Broncos.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Yeah, they had a chance to go for 70. They pushed out. You can't do that.
Yeah.
I'll come in. I'll demand D'Amico Ryans be fired on Monday if they don't run up the score on the Cowboys.
Wait. Okay. If they
have
the opportunity to run up the score and they don't, right?
Yeah, then we'll be more upset.
Okay. Okay.
I won't be upset. I'll be annoyed.
You'll be disappointed?
On a real note.
No, look, annoyed. Even if Davis Mills is in because you're up by 60, I want to see Davis Mills throwing that ball to John Metchie and Xavier Hutchinson with J.J. Taylor or whoever running the ball. Hey. Like, put some points up here.
Hey.
Run it up.
Someone's texting in. We're going to give this to the Texans as bulletin board material. Dallas by 2 touchdowns. Damn.
My gosh.
He said, wish... In one hand, crap in the other. I don't hold poop. I don't do that. Okay? Never have. Never will. Although,
that's good.
Although, yesterday, came home, and I was going to do my live stream.
Okay.
And my cute little kitty cat, Aria, who's been in a magazine before with me, she came up to me, and she's being all affectionate, so I pick her up. And I put her in my arm, and then I look at my arm, and there's just a giant brown streak on my arm. My cat had the mud butt yesterday. So after that happened, I had to submerge my cat in the bathtub. And since she's so fluffy, I had to get all of the poop out of her floof. And listen, am I now learning what Joe George has had to deal with? With his young son, yes. I feel like now I'm almost a father. By proxy.
Far less hair.
The hair is the difference.
Less hair.
Like, the hair is really the difference here.
It was so gross. Oh, yeah. And so then I was trying to corral her for like 30 minutes because, you know, cats are good at like getting into difficult to reach places.
Yeah.
So give her a bath. God, the worst.
Oh man.
Anyway,
I wish we all just kind of had like real world cameras in our houses.
No,
so I had footage of that.
No.
Like no. I was like just watching Paul.
This streak was like 3 cat. Inches. It's just of cat mud butt. It was disgusting. Anyway, speaking of disgusting, the Texans in the second half of light. Boom. Got him. What a transition. Up next, I do think it is interesting to take a look at a major coaching change that took place this week, the reaction to it, and ask some questions, some more, about Bobby Slowick and the Houston Texans. We'll do that next. He's Joe and Paul. We got Sean behind the glass. It's Gallant and George.
You're back with Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul and Joe.
If you want to talk about D'Amico Ryan's ceiling, you can. 713-780-3776 to call, to text. I think it's fair to ask, what is it? Is it one of the top coaches in the NFL? Is it that next tier? Questions can be asked just given the way things have gone of late. A lot of other people are wondering when we're going to see Bobby Slowick out of the Texans. They have been calling for his head for a couple weeks now, if we're being honest. After a year ago yesterday, the Bills fired Ken Dorsey. They moved over to Joe Brady. We also saw this week the Chicago Bears fire offensive coordinator Shane Waldron. And Bears players are reacting to that today. Oh, boy. Here first is wide receiver DJ Moore being asked a question about Waldron.
One of the primary things he was looking to change was the in-game communication. What do you think was lacking? Speaking from a play caller perspective, what do you think was lacking with the in-game communication from play caller to players?
I want to say probably when we want to call, or it's probably a drive too late, or we wanted to make adjustments and we just wait till halftime to make it, and then we don't get the same look. So I can see what he mean by that right there.
No,
it's not great.
Shane, come back, Shane. Anyone get that reference? No, dated 1950s movie reference.
Gonna say maybe Walking Dead season 1 or 2.
So at the end of the movie Shane, which is about a gunslinger who comes into his town and saves a bunch of people, he goes out and he saves a bunch of people, but he's riding off into the sunset, and people are wondering, is he back to his drifting ways, or is he literally dead in the horse? And that's what Shane Waldron is right now, dead in the horse. We'll see if he gets another job elsewhere. Now,
my God, you have the weirdest references.
I don't have the weirdest references. Paul's culture.
Movie Shane.
Paul's like a Dennis Miller who knows ball. Oh, look at me. You probably didn't even get that reference.
No.
God, do I sound autistic or something like that? Not there's anything wrong with that, but a lot of people are like...
I was just saying that I'm old right now.
A lot of the Gen Zers are claiming that now. Yeah, that's what I am. It's like, are we all claiming we have mental disabilities? Anyway, whatever. Sorry, I'm all over the place right now. Here's more on Shane Waldron. Many Bears fans think has a mental disability. Here is what Keenan Allen had to say about why things didn't work out with Shane Waldron. Quote, I would say he was too nice of a guy. I think during OTA's training camp, he kind of fell into a trap of letting things go, not holding people accountable. Obviously, those things lead to a slippery slope. People are saying the same thing about Bobby Slowick, for what it's worth. I don't know that people actually know that's what's going on with Bobby Slowick. I think it's more speculation. You look at him, he's a 37-year-old guy who doesn't look that dissimilar to me, and you're like, is this guy yelling at C.J. Stroud when he does poorly? Can he get away with that? Can he pull that off? I think it's a fair question to ask, but people are wondering the same thing about Slowick. When are the adjustments happening? Like DJ Moore there. And is he too nice of a guy? Like Keenan Allen said about Shane Waldron.
Yeah, I mean, because the Texans players definitely give off a similar vibe, but just are way less vocal of willingness to be coached hard, like at least the majority of them, right? Like we know CJ Stroud talks about accountability. Like we hear that so often about like being held accountable. So in theory, you should be able to coach all these guys hard. Mm-hmm. I think it's the most challenging part of any coach in any sport right now is dealing with this younger generation of just like how much pushback can you really give them? But then what's the line for being too soft? Like it is such a dance that like if you don't really know what the culture of your locker room is, then you're going to lose it because then players aren't going to practice hard. They're going to create bad habits that they're going to be like, you talk about bad habits. The Texans had a ton of bad habits. Now they've corrected a lot of them. Like that's one where like I'll chalk that up into a positive is that the issues we were talking about weeks 1 through 4, where they were leading the league in penalties on the offensive line, have rarely been an issue now, besides Hugh Scruggs' 2 holding penalties, but like the illegal formations, the false starts, all that stuff has kind of gone away. So I think we are seeing improvement in certain areas, but it's still a fair question to ask if he's too nice.
Here's a text in response to what Joe said from the 281. Okay, boomer. The funny thing is, I mean, you people on this show are the younger generation. You, Joe,
Sean behind the glass,
we're
AJ
in the same
behind
generation.
Sean. No, no, no. You guys are the young generation. Joe, you just called out your own generation.
I'm a millennial.
Yeah. I'm also a millennial for the sake of this conversation.
I think Paul's also you're in Gen Z. We all know this. We did the math. You're in Gen Z.
I'm on the edge.
You're the senior advisor to Gen Z.
Elder Gen Z.
I agree with Joe. I do think it's definitely changing the way that players want to be treated. They want to be treated with respect. You actually want a guy like D'Amico Ryan's running the show. But I also wonder, like, hey, sometimes you need an a-hole to get the most out of it.
There's a balance. There's a balance between like letting like of holding guys accountable and being, you know, kind of what like you don't want to be Bill Belichick, I think, today, even though it works so well for him for so long. But I think today Bill Belichick does not work. But then what when you're, you know, a like near Hall of Fame wide receiver is saying you're too nice, there's two ends of the spectrum. And you want to find like that middle ground.
It's, you know, what's interesting. I feel just everything that we see these days, it's a pendulum in the culture everywhere. We go one way very far and then we go back the other way. And I wonder if there will be a return to the old school. You can't drink water, you puss. Like coaches that we used to see at practice. Chew on a salt tablet, you little bitch. Like that stuff. Like, is that ever going to come back? Because I will say the generation after Gen Z, they're very comfortable saying the same things that Gen X was saying back in the day.
Sure.
They're dropping the F-bomb, the other F-bomb, the R-word. Like, those are back from the real young kids all of a sudden. It is a pendulum.
That's true.
So I do wonder if we get that. I'm trying to think off the top of my head, who is really, like, the most fire and brimstone gets into his players' coaches? Is it Mike Tomlin? Is it Jim Harbaugh? I'm wondering how many there are.
I would say probably the Harbaughs, Tomlin, kind of the outside perspective, even though it's very rah-rah a lot of the times. Like, you just get that vibe from Dan Campbell that, like, he's just chewing guys out all the time. And I think there's a bunch of coaches who probably try it who are really bad at it. Doug Peterson, for example. I bet you Doug Peterson tries to be really critical and kind of a hard ass to his players, but he's probably lost them all.
How's Dable? Dable seems like he'd be. I didn't watch the Hard Knocks, but again, he wasn't coaching players. He was just sitting there talking about Daniel Jones.
Feels a little like Bill O'Brien-y, like he's a little teapot.
I just say that because he coached with Saban, or he was the offensive coordinator for Saban. He also coached with the Patriots, so I imagine he has some of that DNA in him. But I don't think he's...
And yet, Daniel Jones is still their starter.
Well, Drew Lock sucks, apparently.
Well...
He must be the worst quarterback on planet Earth.
I think... I forget who said this. I want to say I was listening to Bomani Jones' podcast, and I think he said, we're seeing history with Daniel Jones. Like, or maybe it was Russillo. I forget. Maybe it was Russillo. One podcast said, we will never see a quarterback get this much rope.
Oh, yeah. I heard that. Yeah, it was Russillo.
Yeah.
He's right. We'll never see this again. Like, we will never see a quarterback.
It is incredible. Yeah. Shout out to Daniel Jones.
Like, Anthony Richardson and Bryce Young got benched this season.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones is on his second contract.
Richardson got benched.
And everyone knows
back.
He sucks.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny.
And some Giants fans, like, don't even want him replaced because they want to draft Travis Hunter.
Yeah, exactly.
Good luck with that.
They want to take for Arch Manning in 2026 already.
Like, he's their Davis Mills, except they pay him $40 million a year.
Yeah.
Joe George, Sean Mapes, Paul Gallant. Gallant and George, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. You want to weigh in on this, you can. 713-780-3776 to call to text. Do you hate the Dallas Cowboys? That is what I want to hear from you. Do you hate them? I mean, they suck this year. Do you even feel bad for them? Or do you feel like they deserve a Sarah McLachlan ad? In the arms of the angel. Dak Prescott's groin fell off the bone. Or hamstring, my bad. We'll discuss. Stay put.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Valspar Ultra starts at just $29.98 a gallon. So we've got you covered when your daughter wants to paint her room again. After last year's masterpiece of a unicorn mural.
Dad, please.
Or when you realize that maybe you went too hard on the greige.
I miss color.
Or when you were sure you wanted a home gym, but your elliptical is currently hanging your laundry.
What about a home office?
Shop everything you need for your next phase with Valspar. Available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
Lowe's has the Labor Day deals you need to give your home a new look. Buy one, get one free select interior paint via Visa gift card rebate. Then, add the final touch with 2 for $8 on select 2.5 or 3-quart mums. Refresh your home and save big while doing it. Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Mums offer in-store only. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. More terms and restrictions apply. See Lowe's.com/rebates for details.